Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sherry's Playhouse. Tonight we're presenting Mabel of the Anzacs Part 2 by Mary D. Brooks. This is a second part that it was already shown, but we had some technical difficulties, so this is a re-release. We had a great team of editors put it back together. I like to thank John Eldzik and Ty Pickett for their hard work in editing the radio play to make it a beautiful production. I'd like to thank my cast for working hard to put it together, and I really hope you enjoy it. Mary's play is touching and amazing. Part two is the confrontation between the two ladies who don't seem to have very much in common. Here's Mabel Part 2.
Eva Hora Lambos lay in bed, trying not to wake her partner Zoe. She wasn't well rested, but consumed with worry over how the day would play out. Zoe had described it as the Mabel assault day, which didn't make Eva feel less anxious. The anxiety was well-founded because of Zoe's running commentary on Sunday about all the things she wanted to tell the old woman and about how she was going to approach the meeting. Zoe had calmed down over the course of Sunday, and that made Eva worry more. When Zoe was not outlining a plan of attack, it meant she was thinking of new ways to deal with a problem. Eva turned to find Zoe wide awake and smiling at her.
Oh, beautiful blue eyes and that jet black hair. Your nose is so perky. Curly red hair and electric green eyes. I'm so in love with your ears. Your lips set me on fire and those long, long, long legs wrapped around me. Let's make love and soccer. So?
The two lovers gazed at each other and laughed at the nonsensical little song they had sung to each other so many times before. Zoe rolled over Eva and looked down at her.
You make me laugh with that song.
It beats what has been running through my head all night.
You worried too much, Abby.
Be respectful. You need to stay calm.
Stop worrying. I have a plan and it will work.
Your plans involve so much yelling that even the dead can hear you.
Not all my plans involve miraculously making dead people hear. You worry too much.
Please promise me you won't start World War III. This woman, she's old.
I know she's old and creepy and...
Please?
I love it when you beg, but I can handle one tiny old lady.
You haven't been able to handle this tiny old lady yet, Zoe. She's managed to enrage you both times you tangled with her.
I've got a plan. I wasn't ready for her attack before, but now I'm prepared.
That's what worries me. You're going to this meeting as if you were still in resistance and up against the Germans. You are the most direct person I know. You don't mince your words, and you say what you mean. Mrs. Andrews is the same.
What is the family love with her? Who cares to like talking to them?
Zoe, please.
I love that living blue eyes of yours. Don't worry. I'm going to be direct, but fair. I'll ask her why she did it, and did she direct, as you claim, then she will tell me. She told me to get myself over to her apartment, and that means she wants to resolve the matter, without bloodshed.
Don't lose your tempers, oh please don't.
I promise, I won't cause any trouble. I don't want you to be anxious. I give you my word that I won't be yelling or waking the dead. I'll be on my best behavior.
All right. That eases my mind. A promise is a promise?
A promise is a promise.
I am going to light a candle to your amazing parents for teaching you the value of keeping your word when we go to the church on Sunday.
I'm quite sure that they would think you are a saint for putting up with me. get nothing done if we stay in bed. I'll get ready for work. Don't have to worry. I'll take care of a few of the desserts I made as a peace offering.
Why are you taking my dessert? You have enough bread to feed an army. Give her one of those.
No, you're so cute when you're being possessive over cakes. I'll make you some more tonight. Get up in bed.
If I must.
Eva leaned in and gave Zoe a kiss before she reluctantly rolled out of bed, leaving Zoe looking up at the ceiling. Zoe sighed and pushed back the covers.
A promise is a promise. Damn. Now I'll have to behave.
Zoe had placed the dessert on a plate and covered it with a towel. Zoe was nervous, and that wasn't like her. She preferred to confront a problem head-on, and she never shied away from tough situations. Mrs. Andrews was unpredictable, and, since she had promised not to yell, it was going to be one of those exasperating situations that made her temper simmer for a long time. Zoe left the apartment and slowly made her way down to the first floor. She was early, so she took a spot a little further away from Mrs. Andrews' apartment, but with a good view of the door, and distracted herself by watching the birds out in the garden for a few minutes. She turned around when she heard Mrs. Andrews' voice. Piercing blue eyes gazed at her over the top of her glasses, which were perched on the edge of her nose.
I'm right on time.
What's on the plate?
I made some galletto burrito.
Let's hope your cooking is better than your insults. Come on in, and we will talk, you little snot.
Zoe stared at the now vacant spot where Mrs. Andrews had stood. She contemplated the thought of just leaving the mealy-mouthed woman, but if she decided to go back to her apartment instead of going through with their chat, it would escalate the feud even more. Zoe wasn't averse to doing just that, but she had promised Eva she would behave.
Are you coming in, or have you just disappeared?
Zoe closed her eyes and sighed. Mabel Andrews was in a mood, and Zoe had promised she was going to behave. This was not going to be an easy day.
Oh, Evie, I wish I hadn't promised you I was going to behave. I really wish I hadn't promised it.
Zoe stood just inside the front door. Eva had been right. She shouldn't have attempted to reason with Mrs. Andrews unless Eva was with her. Eva had a calming effect on people because of her quiet nature and her ability to put everyone at ease. People found themselves eager to talk when Eva was around. It may have had something to do with Eva allowing others all the time they needed to express themselves without being interrupted. Zoe had a habit of interrupting people, amongst other ways of antagonizing them. The two glared at each other before Mrs. Andrews pointed to the sofa.
Sit! I told you to sit down. Are you deaf?
Are you always this rude? You're all nice and proper in your letters, but rude when someone meets you face to face.
I'm only rude to snots like you.
You're a nasty old thing.
You're a rude snot of a girl. Do you want to trade insults or do you want to sit down?
Well, do you want me to sit?
Pick a chair and sit your bottom down.
I'm getting an education on how to sit down now. I'm so glad I already knew how to sit my ass in the sofa before. Promises are promises, also.
What? Speak up! I can't hear you over your rudeness.
You really are a pain in the bum.
Apparently your mother never taught you how to respect your elder.
She did, but I reserve my respect for those who have earned it, not for how long they have been on this earth.
Zoe sat down and faced her nemesis. Her natural curiosity got the better of her, and she took the time to look around the room, which was decorated with photographs and paintings. She returned her attention to Mrs. Andrews, who was watching her.
Have you finished being nosy? I'm so glad I have your attention. Now, have you thought about how we are going to resolve this problem?
I have thought about a lot of things. Some things I really can't have, and other things I wish you. But you know what they say about if wishes were horses.
If wishes were horses, snots would ride.
You really are good at being a crotchety old lady, aren't you?
Miss Lambros, have you thought about your actions over the last few months and how we are going to correct them?
I am here for your apology.
Zoe surprised herself. This wasn't why she was there at all. Having gone this far, she decided she wasn't going to back down, and she would include the apology with everything else. No one got anywhere if they didn't take a risk or two. Zoe smiled when the furrow between Mrs. Andrews' eyes deepened.
You are such a snot!
You've said that to me 4 times already. Can we get past the name-calling? Ever heard of sticks and stones? I really don't have very much time in my life to play these games, and you really don't have a lot of time left. How old are you? 100? You don't have time to play games with me.
Your rudeness is beyond the pale, but I did instigate this meeting, so I must put up with your inane ramblings. I have one question.
Just one?
Miss Lambros, can you be quiet just for a few minutes without blurting whatever's in your head? You can speak when I'm asking you a question.
Oh, good. I was going to burst with all this stuff in my head that I couldn't blurt out.
Oh, dear God. So, is it your game to annoy me every day?
No, just every second day. That's ridiculous. How do I annoy you when I don't even see you? For me to have a plan to annoy you, I must first have a reason. That's logical, isn't it?
I sent you a letter. I told you in my letter not to talk loudly in the garden. That's not a difficult thing, is it? Do you ever shut up?
Whether I talk a lot is none of your concern, nor do I talk loudly in the garden.
I've never met anyone as rude as you.
I don't believe that you've never met anyone ruder than me. You're nearly 100 years old, and in all that time you've never met anyone ruder than me. But if I was rude to you, which I wasn't, that's impossible. Has anyone you've met ever been so nice? I'm not saying I'm rude, but I find it so impossible that you would think that I was the rudest person you had ever met.
Zoe was sure that her rambling was causing Mrs. Andrews to rethink her invitation. Mrs. Andrews' eyes had narrowed, but just a small twitch of her lips indicated to Zoe that there was a war going on as to how to respond to her. Zoe secretly enjoyed the banter because it allowed her to watch Mrs. Andrews' response. She appeared to want a confrontation, but there was something else going on at the same time. It fascinated Zoe as to how this was all going to play out.
Do you realize that you are very loud when you talk?
I'm Greek. All Greeks talk loudly. It's what makes us a great people. We're expressive, passionate people.
A friend Eva said, if I got to know you, I would see you differently, other than the snotty teenager that I thought you were. You're still a snotty teenager.
Well, there's something Mark has ever said to me. It's all right, I don't like you either, and my feelings are not hurt if you don't like me.
Zoe turned her head towards the adjoining door when Mrs. Tavridis entered with a tray. She gave Zoe a withering look, but Zoe didn't care. She merely waved at the irritated woman, who put the tray with some tea on a nearby table. Without a word, Mrs. Tavridis poured the tea into cups and offered them to Zoe and to Mrs. Andrews. She whispered in Mabel's ear before she left. Mrs. Tavridis stopped and gave Zoe another look before she closed the door.
I don't think your friend likes me all that much.
That's the least of your problems. One of your major problems is that you are so loud in the garden when I asked you to be quiet. The garden was designed to be a place of silence and reflection.
Whoever built it sure did a terrible job of the idea of one of silence. No one builds a garden just to have it sit there without being enjoyed. It's not a mausoleum.
My husband built it.
Your husband was a gardener and got paid to create a garden that no one can use because the noise disturbs people. That's a terrible design.
For the first and only time since Zoe had met Mrs. Andrews, she smiled. It wasn't a pleasant smile. Mrs. Andrews picked up her teacup and took a sip while watching Zoe over the top of her glasses, which were perched on the edge of her nose. Zoe stared right back at Mrs. Andrews and wasn't about to back down on anything.
My husband was not hired to design it. We own this building and the other 3 apartment blocks.
Well, I'm going to go to plan to move elsewhere in the street.
Zoe saw a fleeting glimpse of a smile from Mrs. Andrews before the scowl reappeared. Mabel Andrews did have a sense of humor, but she was trying hard not to show it. Zoe was now intrigued more than annoyed.
You... What is the word I want? I just told you that I'm your landlady. You're not scared that I may evict you.
Zoe put the teacup down and leaned forward, eager to make eye contact, since Mabel Andrews was a woman who enjoyed confrontation. Zoe was going to give her the fight she craved. If she wanted brutal honesty, that's what Zoe was prepared to give her. Mabel Andrews was annoying, but there was something about her that just made Zoe want to uncover what was beneath that gruff exterior.
What would this be behavior when someone knows the answer to a question and they ask it anyway? If you evict me, you evict Eva.
That is not true. You are not Siamese twins. You can exist without the other.
I wouldn't put a wager on that. If you evict me, Eva goes, and then no one is going to help you with our garden for free.
Do you think I care, Miss Mueller?
Caralambo. And you know it's Caralambo, because she told you herself.
Miss Lambros, I don't particularly care if she changed her name or not. If Miss Hal Lambros wants to help me in the garden, it is her choice.
I know it's her choice, and she baffles me why she would want to work with you on this. She loves gardens, but there has to be something else.
I like her company. She's an interesting young woman. You, on the other hand, are a snot.
An accurate snot? Now, if you don't want me in your apartment, why haven't you asked Mrs. Jenkins to evict me?
It is illegal to evict you because I don't like you.
Hurrah for the law!
There's also a law that pays to rent apartments to migrants.
Hurrah for greed!
You are insufferable.
No. Since we can't be evicted, can I speak my mind?
Haven't you been speaking your mind since you arrived?
Oh no, I promise to be changed.
Good lord. Tell me why you choose to go into the garden and talk incessantly. When you're not talking, you sit out there drawing.
Do I have a noisy pencil?
It's not your pencil that is the problem. You talk to yourself like a lunatic while you're drawing.
I talk to myself and that's a bad thing. Next thing you will tell me is that I breathe too loudly.
You're wasting your life. You should be working and earning a living. Men and women have died to give you that opportunity. If you knew the sacrifices they made for you, you would be more respectful.
Zoe bit back her retort, and although she didn't need to justify her life to Mrs. Andrews, she was unable to stop herself. She knew that Mrs. Andrews was challenging her. She knew it and accepted the challenge.
I worked in a restaurant. Some days I worked days, and the other days I took the evening shift.
Attending art college, it's not acquiring an education.
Why are you asking me questions you already know the answer to? I didn't mention art college, but you know about it. Why are we even having this conversation?
Oh. Of course, I know about it. You and your friend talk about it in the garden.
Ask me something you don't know. I'm getting paid for that work. Mrs. Jenkins would have told you that I posted an advertisement on the notice board. You all answer to why I draw. That is my work.
Drawing is a hobby. Real work is what you do when you break a sweat. When you're not wasting your time drawing, you're romanticizing about the Great War. Do you think that the Great War was romantic?
Wow. Haven't you got a long list of grievances against me? The dam in the garden? It's just Medusa's head.
Not Medusa, it was Hydra.
I don't care who it was. What I'm saying is that it's not just that I damaged your flower bed. You're offended that I'm in the garden talking too loudly, drawing too loudly, talking to myself too loudly. Haven't missed anything.
Mrs. Andrews rubbed her temple with her fingers. Zoe continued to glare at the old woman, and the situation was spiraling out of control. Zoe hadn't expected the garden to be such an issue. Mrs. Andrews raised her cane and shook it.
You don't know anything. You're a teenager oblivious to the pain you are causing me and others in the building. That is what inflamed my anger.
I don't know a lot of things, but...
You don't know what war is. There's nothing romantic about war, Miss Lambros. nothing romantic about boys being killed. There's nothing romantic about it.
Zoe was taken aback by the words being sprayed at her with such vehemence. It wasn't just the obvious annoyance at her, but Mrs. Andrews shook with anger, to the point Zoe was beginning to worry about the old woman. Zoe sat silently for a long moment, trying to keep control of her anger, trying desperately not to break her promise to Eva.
I know that war isn't romantic. You have no idea what I know about men. You don't know what I've been through.
You are a child. You don't know anything about war or loss. You are far too young to know anything.
You?
Zoe stopped as she felt herself unable to speak without her voice breaking. The last thing she wanted was to show weakness in front of Mrs. Andrews. She took a deep breath and exhaled.
Why do you care what I read? I thought Hitler was dead, but it seems his sister is still alive and well.
Mrs. Andrews' eyebrows rose. Zoe sat back in astonishment at what she had just said. She hadn't planned on saying that. After a long pause, Mrs. Andrews smiled. It was the oddest reaction in an already bizarre conversation, mired in ridiculous and nonsensical.
Well, I think this would be a good time for you to go, Zoe. Come back tomorrow, we can continue this conversation.
I love it.
You will come tomorrow at this time, and you will tell me why you read those books and do that silly art.
Why should I?
You frustrate me and anger me, but I also find you fascinating, and I'm curious to find out more about you and why you do the things you do. You find joy in things I would consider illogical, like war, and I want to know why.
I don't find joy in war. If you knew the truth about me, you would see how stupid that is. I don't find pleasure in death and destruction.
Good. Then you can tell me all about it tomorrow while you read those books.
It's none of your business what I read. I don't have to justify myself to you.
Same time tomorrow, Zoe.
Zoe got up and left the apartment. She found herself staring at the closed door in amazement.
What just happened? God, why are you torturing me? Why?
Zoe stormed into the house of Earl's mother, Shirley Wiggins, still angry at the confrontation she had just had with Mrs. Andrews. She had ridden the bicycle Mrs. Jenkins had loaned her while Henry straightened the front wheel of her own bike. She had been so angry while riding the bike to Mrs. Wiggins' house, she was sure at some point she was going to end up in the gutter. Mrs. Wiggins had become like a mother to Zoe, after meeting her at a dinner party they hosted for Earl and his family. Eva had first befriended Earl at the cookie factory, and they started courting to disguise the fact that they were both homosexuals. To those not privy to Eva and Earl's subterfuge, it was a beautiful match. Mrs. Wiggins was unaware of the ruse being perpetrated by her son, but Zoe reasoned that she didn't need to know the truth.
The woman is mad! What are you going on about? Come and sit down. The woman is a lunatic! Yes, you've already said that. Who is a lunatic? And sit down and I'll get you some water. You look quite heated. Oh, I'm so upset I sat on your photos. Oh, it's all right. Alice would like that some of the photographs are now straightened out. I'll get you some water to cool you down. I am calm. Yes, I can see how calm you are.
Zoe took a deep breath and waited for Mrs. Wiggins to come back from the kitchen. She picked up a photograph and thought it was Earl until she turned it over and read the inscription.
Earl looks like he's Uncle Rupert. Yes, very much so. And the older he gets, the stronger the resemblance is. Are all these photographs yours? Some are, but my sister has mixed some of hers in there. We're trying to organize them into albums. We just didn't realize what a big job it's going to be. Now, what has got you so riled up? Our landlady is crazy. Mrs. Jenkins does strike me as being crazy. Not Mrs. Jenkins. She's not our landlady.
Zoe was still flipping through the photographs, and she came to one that made her almost forget her anger.
When was this photo taken? Oh, let's see.
was serving with the Australian Army Nursing Service. That's her in the middle, and Matron Grace Wilson, courageous woman.
Lennox, that's the Greek battle near Turkey. Is that when the troops were in Gallipoli? Earl told me all about Anzac Day and how they landed on the beaches.
Yes. This was on Lindo. When they were withdrawn, the troops landed in the wrong place, all thanks to the English, and were struck on the beach against the Turks. That's where we lost Rupert.
Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss, Mrs. Wiggins.
Oh, darling, thank you. It's been nearly 32 years, but it feels like yesterday.
Time never heals our wounds, does it?
Time softens the blow, but no, it never does.
The nurses were soldiers too, Mrs. Wiggins. They were near the front.
Some ended up on the front line, though. You would call them warriors, and that was true.
Is that Mabel Andrews next to your sister?
No, that's Anna Andrews, Mabel's twin sister. Mabel is there behind her.
There is no romance in war. Mabel Andrews was a World War I nurse. She was a warrior.
Yes. She served with my sister. They ended up in France. Lemnos was a Sunday picnic compared to France.
What happened in France?
Alice, Mabel, and Anna were sent to an Australian casualty clearing station near the battlefront of Trois-Albert. They were a stone's throw away from the front line. They were bombed by the Germans almost every night.
Surely the Germans didn't know it was a hospital, right?
Oh, they knew it was a hospital. They bombed it anyway.
That's just barbaric. Then I'm not surprised, since the Germans are ruthless pigs. Oh, she's not crazy.
No, Mabel Andrews is not crazy, Zoe.
I'm really stupid, Mrs. Wiggins. Really stupid.
Oh, I doubt that, Zoe. There are a lot of things you don't know, but you're not a stupid girl.
I was going to wait for Earl to come home from his shift, but I'll have to see him tomorrow. Can I borrow this photograph?
As long as you don't lose it.
If I lose it, I'll draw you an exact copy.
Let me get you something to eat, and I'll tell you the heroics of Australian nurses during the Great War.
Eva stirred in her sleep and reached out to put her arm around Zoe, but instead found a rumpled bed sheet. She rolled over and turned on the bedside lamp. Sometimes Zoe would wake and take her sketchbook out on the balcony to draw, if there was a full moon. Her insomnia intensified in April, and she did whatever it took to distract herself from the memories. Her father's death in April caused Zoe to retreat within herself. While Zoe's exuberant nature was still evident for many people, Eva knew better. They both had demons that haunted them. Smells, sounds, and dates. Zoe called them their destiny. Dates, although Eva wasn't sure what any of it had to do with destiny or fate. Eva sat up and leaned forward to see if Zoe was on the balcony.
Nope, not outside drawing. She must be in the living room.
Eva pulled back the bedsheet and got up. She looked down to find their black and white kitten, Aranya, asleep on her slippers. She walked into the living room where she found Zoe, who had her easel in front of the fireplace and had taken a few steps back to admire her work. Eva admired the dark blue silk chiffon lace Steppen teddy that Zoe was wearing. She had bought it for Zoe's last year's birthday after taking on extra shifts at the factory, and it was worth all the time it had taken to save money. Eva padded quietly to Zoe's side and put her arms around her.
Hey, what are you doing up at this time?
I'm in a good sleep. Right in the middle of falling asleep, I got the perfect image in my head, Evie.
Eva turned away from Zoe to see what was on the canvas. It didn't surprise her to see the beautiful work of art.
Oh, that is magnificent.
Do you think so? I was just wondering if I should have...
No. This is perfect. Love, it's perfect.
I wanted to capture something I think is happening right now.
Mrs. Andrews will be extremely moved.
Eva put her arm around Zoe as they both gazed at the artwork. It was so lifelike and detailed that Eva was astounded by it. Eva took Zoe's hand and led her to the sofa.
It's one of your best pieces.
Not my best?
It's close. I love the Lambros clan.
The Lambros clan art was, in Eva's opinion, the best work Zoe had ever done. To her, that work of art conveyed more than ink or colors on paper. It was painted with so much love. It wasn't a painting of the family, but of the love Zoe had for them. That also spoke a lot about Zoe's personality.
Why do I want Mrs. Andrews to like what I do? It bothers me that I care what she thinks, and a part of me wants to tell her to go mind her own business.
Eva kissed Zoe's forehead and gently tipped her face towards her. Eva knew Zoe would fall in love with the woman she was dealing with. They were so similar in nature, yet decades separated them.
I knew you would like her eventually. She reminds me of you. She has the same spirit.
I don't like her, and I don't like being attacked, yelled at, and subjected to her craziness.
No, you're attracted to what is behind that bluster.
I don't know what's behind that bluster. How could I be attracted to something I didn't know about? She's a cranky old woman.
Even after what Mrs. Wiggins told you about Mabel and her sister, you think she's just a cranky old woman? Zoe, you're forgetting who you're speaking to. Look at that art. It's pretty obvious that you admire her.
That's what you see by looking at the painting?
You wouldn't waste precious time on something that didn't deserve it. I've never seen you paint something you didn't find fascinating. You need to find that kernel of truth in everything you do.
I don't know what you went through in World War I, but I can guess.
Even if you can guess, you'll never know. She doesn't know what you went through. No one does except for you. You only know your pain.
You know my pain? You're there. You know everything about me.
I saw your pain, my love. I never experienced it like you didn't experience my pain. But you know about it. Our experiences change us. What I know is that Mabel Andrews values strength, honesty, and being direct. Whatever her pain is, it runs deep. No matter how hard you try to decipher why she's doing these things, they are rooted in her past.
She's direct, all right. She's also rude, obnoxious, and a few other things.
I told you before you went to see her. She's direct, and you are also forthright. You will never be accused of being guarded with your words. Whether someone likes it or not, you give your opinion. What Mrs. Andrews is doing is reaching out to find out more about you.
She knows who I am. She's been listening to me blather on with Elena for months now. The things I've told Ellen at Garden are private, and she knows all of it. That's disturbing me.
You don't tell Elena our private things, do you?
No, of course not. Oh, you know I wouldn't say anything about us in the open, not even to Elena.
I thought maybe you might tell her things like when I annoy you, or...
No, I don't tell her when you annoy me. It's none of Elena's business. I don't talk to Elena about us and our secrets. Never. If Elle asks and I don't want to tell her, I just say it's a private matter and she drops it. I do talk about you and how much I love you, but not about our private things. Did you really think I was in the garden talking about our secrets?
I thought about it, but I didn't dwell on it.
Zoe's eyebrows rose and a smile spread across her face, which made Eva laugh.
Oh, all right. I did dwell on it a little.
I don't reveal our secrets, Evie.
I believe you. Does it bother you that you don't have the element of surprise with Mrs. Andrews?
Yes. Why would she want to spend the precious time she has left to learn more about me?
It's the same reason you took the time to listen to what Mrs. Wiggins said about her sister's war experiences. She was in the middle of a war zone, Zoe. No one leaves a battlefield unscarred. You weren't even on a battlefield, and you were a warrior.
Eva tenderly kissed Zoe on the forehead and held her as Zoe melted into her embrace. The danger in talking about the war wasn't lost on Eva.
You are a ferocious warrior. I am in awe of your ability to keep fighting. What's even more surprising is that your art is never dark.
You really are a thinker, aren't you? How long have you been thinking about that?
A while. I see the Lambros clan art, and I'm filled with joy because their faces reflect love. This is a portrait that no one sees unless they come into our bedroom, and no one comes into our bedroom. You feel so strongly about it, you cover it when we make love.
So he took a deep breath and leaned against Eva. That was the truth. No one saw that artwork unless they were allowed into the bedroom. A window into Zoe's soul was how Eva often described it. Many people made the mistake of believing they knew Zoe well because she was direct, opinionated, and brutally honest. The Zoe they didn't know was hidden inside that bedroom and in that work of art.
What about my other art?
The art you show everyone is meant to be provocative and designed to incite a reaction. You want that as an artist, but they are never dark.
I should show Mrs. Andrews the clan art. Is that what you are saying?
Yes. Show her who you really are, Zoe. She thinks she has you figured out, but she doesn't. She knows she doesn't, and that's why she wants to speak to you again. You also want to know what is so special about that garden. The only way you will find out reveal a part of your soul to her.
Well, that's a little too personal just to find out why that damn garden is so special to her.
Don't you want to know?
Yeah, but will she tell me?
You know how you say we have destiny dates? What if she has one and involves that garden? Maybe her anger is linked to a memory or a person. I suspect your art also intrigues her, more than the romance novels you read. Maybe those two things are linked.
You don't like me, Effie, and I really don't like her. What makes you think she will dislike me less if she looks at my family art?
Deep down, I don't think you dislike her. You're annoyed with yourself because you felt intimidated by her. Surprise me, too, because I've seen you in combat with a trained soldier. Yet you wouldn't go down to the laundry if she was there. Somehow you knew that this woman was a warrior. You view any woman who is in combat as a warrior.
Howard runs. Warriors rise and face the challenge. That is what heroic women do.
Indeed. And I want to go to bed, but I want to ask you a question. Think about it first. What do you do when you like someone?
I don't spend my time thinking about them.
You draw them. Every person you have ever had a friendship with, you have drawn them first. You also make the person pay attention to you like you did with me. We talked about why you didn't take the opportunity to kill me when we had Chance and Larissa. Remember what you said. I intrigued you. Even when I was a devil incarnate, you still drew me like you've drawn Mabel Andrews.
I'm going to kiss Miss Mabel Andrews. What if I don't want you to like me?
That's silly. You got up in the middle of the night to paint her, and you just told me that you care about what she thinks. You see the warrior in her. And you admire people who show strength, courage, and honor. You value those traits in others, love.
Eva was positive Zoe had not spent any time thinking about this. Zoe reacted to a person on instinct. She either liked you on sight or she didn't, and the first impressions were crucial for her. She didn't spend time analyzing her feelings or trying to second-guess herself. If you were worthy of her interest, you got her undivided attention.
Well, let's see if your theory is right tomorrow. I mean today. I think I've done enough tonight. Let's go to bed, Miss H.
Eva put her arm around Zoe's shoulder and led her back to the bedroom. She spared another glance at the artwork and smiled. Zoe had met her match. Two women cut from the same cloth. Eva had seen the similarities when she had spoken to Mabel in her apartment. Zoe just wasn't sure how to handle Mabel Andrews because Zoe never had to deal with someone who was willing to go toe-to-toe with her. Eva had no doubts once Zoe got her equilibrium back, she would get Mabel Andrews' measure. Zoe sat out in front of the building and drew on her sketch pad, while Mr. Ross was pruning the trees. Her mind, however, was on Mrs. Andrews and what Zoe was going to tell the old woman. Was Eva right? Zoe had gone to extraordinary lengths to avoid Mrs. Andrews. Zoe watched Mr. Ross's hands as it held a twig, and she started a new drawing of those hands.
Are you drawing me again?
No, not you. Just your friend.
God spoil me. You create beautiful work. I don't know why you are going to art school. You already know how to draw.
You learn more at school.
Yes, you do, I suppose. Have you and Mrs. Andrews my piece?
How do you know about that?
The entire neighborhood heard what happened. Those travels faster than a possum up a tree around here, Zoe.
It's not something everyone should be talking about.
Mrs. Ross tells me that when Mabel gets upset with someone, they find themselves in a great deal of trouble and it never ends well for them.
That sounds like it's happened quite a few times. Were those people artists?
Oh, no, I don't think so. You're a lovely young lady, and I wouldn't want you to get into trouble.
Trouble is never far away when I'm involved.
Zoe made Mr. Ross chuckle at the description of herself. She spotted Mrs. Andrews walking up the path leading to the apartment block, along with Mrs. Stavridis. They passed her without a word. Zoe wasn't expecting any greeting, especially from Mrs. Stavridis, who was giving her the evil eye.
Well, that's a good indication that today is going to be so much fun.
Mr. Lambrus, are you going to join me, or are you planning to annoy Mr. Ross all day?
She's so annoying. I have to go trace after Her Majesty. Goodbye, Mr. Ross.
Zoe turned towards the sound of Mrs. Andrews' booming voice and shook her head. She followed Mrs. Andrews to the first floor.
One of these days, I'm going to leave things alone and not say a word.
Sit!
Zoe debated with herself for a moment whether she should tell Mrs. Andrews precisely what she thought of her. She sat down on the nearest armchair and found herself sinking into the cushion.
That was my husband's chair. He was a big chap, so it might be uncomfortable for you. It sags.
Zoe saw the slight uplift in Mrs. Andrews' lips as a smile threatened to crease her wrinkled face.
You enjoyed that.
I did.
Mabel's smile transformed the woman before her. Zoe watched in wonder. The edges of Mrs. Andrews' eyes crinkled when her blue eyes met Zoe's in obvious delight at being able to surprise her.
You should smile more. You're a beautiful woman when you smile.
Well, no one has told me that in a long time. Thank you. But if I smile more, I will lose my crotchety reputation.
Zoe burst out laughing at the unexpected self-deprecating humor, something she wasn't expecting at all.
That's your secret, isn't it? The secret of the real Mabel underneath the scowling facade.
That scowling facade is real.
That's a shame, because I just saw the real Mabel Andrews, and I liked it. I'm not trying to flatter you, I'm just telling you what I saw.
You don't flatter people. That much I do know. You talk about what you see a lot, don't you?
That's what an artist does. They notice things other humans don't. By the way, don't you think it's rude to listen in on private conversations?
That is not answering the question.
Zoe sighed and leaned back against the seat, only to sink further into the cushion. She scooted forward and got out of the chair. Mabel's quiet chuckle irritated her, but Zoe chose to bite back the retort that came to mind. She kicked the sofa nearby and leaned down to push the cushion with her hand to test its firmness, and once finding it firm, she sat down and brought her satchel with her.
Why do you eavesdrop on people's conversations? I think that's so rude and just not right.
Most of the residents in this building don't go out in the garden to talk. They know that their voices carry in the garden. It is not my fault that I can hear you and your friend talking.
Why would your husband design a garden like that? It's the worst design I've seen. Not that I've seen a lot of garden design, but still, this is bad.
You do talk a lot. You are right. He didn't know a lot about gardens, but it was built out of love. He didn't intentionally design it like that. My Harry wanted to make me happy, and he built the garden because he knew I loved flowers. Since you've had a good look around my apartment, I'm sure you saw that photo behind you of my wedding day.
Zoe turned around and saw a photograph in an ornate frame hanging on the wall. She was taken in by the smiles on the couple's face. She was used to seeing wedding photographs where the bride and groom were quite solemn. But there was something different in this photograph. The young man had his arm around the bride's waist and was planting a chaste kiss on her cheek. His bride was a beautiful young woman in a gorgeous gown. She had a bouquet in her hand and a radiant smile lit up her face.
You are beautiful, and you are when you're not being so cranky. Your husband was handsome.
My Harry was a handsome, smart man. He was a surgeon at Sydney Hospital, and I had graduated from the hospital as a registered nurse.
When did he build the garden? I'm sorry, this must be upsetting to you.
Talking about my beloved Harry is not upsetting. He built it after we lost our first child.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Andrus. I'm sorry for your loss.
It's all right. You are not to know. That's why I live in this section of the building. Harry wasn't much of a builder, but he built it for me, and it means a great deal to me.
Is that why you don't want anyone in the garden?
Oh, I want people to enjoy the garden, and many have over the years. It's also the place where our baby was buried.
You buried a baby in the garden? Is that legal? I thought everyone should be buried in a cemetery.
We buried him where the azaleas grow.
I fell into a grave?
It's been 38 years since he was buried there, so I wouldn't worry about Harry Jr. being disturbed. My husband built it so our children had a place where they could play. Unfortunately, the design was flawed.
I don't know anything about gardens myself, but it appears he designed an excellent system to eavesdrop on people.
He didn't know anything about building gardens either, but he was a brilliant surgeon. He wasn't a great designer. We all have our strengths.
How many children do you have?
5.
They fell silent when Zoe fidgeted. She wanted to open her sketchbook to draw, but she didn't think Mrs. Andrews would really understand the need for her to do something with her hands. It was Mrs. Andrews who broke the silence.
Tell me, why you find the need to be so descriptive in what you see?
What kind of question is that? Of all the things you could ask me.
Your descriptions are so detailed.
I'm an artist. We tend to see things and draw them.
That's not what I meant. About a month ago, you and your friend were talking about some displaced people that had arrived from Egypt.
Yes, they came on USAT General Stuart into Paris.
You were telling her about the journey you took to Egypt before you boarded the ship to Australia. You described how you felt as you sailed away from Cairo, but you also described how you felt when the seaman fell into the water in his haste to leave the port. You even did an accent in his yelling. I closed my eyes and I could see it as if I were there. You had me laughing. And then I was overcome with sadness.
Did the sailor who fell overboard make you cry? Is that why you destroyed my art? I'm confused.
No. It had nothing to do with the sailor. It just brought back some memories, and it made me sad, Zoe. When you get to be my age, you will discover that the pain of the past is about all you remember. It wasn't my intention to destroy your artwork. I intended for you to get out of the garden and leave me in peace. It made me melancholy to remember all those I've lost, and I just couldn't take any more of your laughter.
Oh, it brought back memories of when you were in Egypt?
Yes, very much so.
Remembering the past as if it was yesterday can be upsetting, but how was I supposed to know that it would cause you pain? Have you thought about moving your apartment to the other side so you don't have to listen to anything being said in the garden?
I don't want to move because the garden is so important to me, as I just told you.
It makes you sad, and it must be hard for you.
We don't always get what we want in life, Zoe. That's why I asked you not to talk so loudly in the garden.
I know all about that, but you could have told me what you just did, and then I wouldn't have been talking so loudly. I know all about not getting what you want in life. I'll tell you something about myself. I'm cursed.
Aren't we all?
No, I am especially cursed by God.
I thought you didn't believe in God.
You really know more about me than I wish you did. You've done a lot of eavesdropping. I believe God exists. I just don't believe he cares about us, and I don't trust him. Unfortunately for me, I'm cursed with having a near-perfect memory.
I don't believe that's possible. And I'm a nurse.
Yes, I know you're a nurse. I saw your photograph at Mrs. Wiggins' house yesterday. Her sister Alex served with you.
You've been asking about me?
That wasn't my intention, but when I explained why smoke was coming out of my ears after our little chat, Mrs. Wiggins wanted to know, and one thing led to another. I found out that you served with her sister in the Great War.
Yes. Alice was an outstanding nurse and a dear friend. Are you telling me the truth that you have a perfect memory?
Yes.
All right. Here's a little test for you. I will show you another photograph that you haven't seen before, and then I will put it away. And you have to tell me in detail from memory about it.
Are you sure you want me to do that? If I tell you in detail what's in that photograph, will you tell me about your time as an Australian army nurse during the Great War?
Why do you want to know that?
I admire and respect women who have served their country with honor. I consider that heroic.
Mabel sat back in her chair and made a noise halfway between a snort and a chuckle. Zoe wasn't sure what that was. It was clear to Zoe that Mabel Andrews did not see herself as heroic, and that's what intrigued Zoe the most. Her Eva never saw herself that way either, but Zoe knew the truth. There was more to Mabel Andrews than the cantankerous woman who destroyed her art. Zoe was determined to find out what that was.
Do you think it's heroic merely to serve your country? It's our duty to serve, if not heroic, not at all. Stop reading those silly books about fake heroes.
I don't base my code on what I've read in romance novels. My parents taught me to live by the Spartan code, Mrs. Andrews. Duty, honor, sacrifice, country. I believe in that code.
Your parents taught you well. But that doesn't mean you truly understand what duty, honor, sacrifice, and country mean. It's easy to parrot words.
What makes you so sure I don't live by that code?
You don't know the meaning of them. Yes, you know the words and the ideas, and you have a willingness to embrace them because your parents taught them to you. But you haven't lived enough to test yourself against those ideals.
So, are you going to test my memory so we can get to your story, or would you rather insult me without knowing whether I have lived up to my code?
Not trying to insult you, Zoe. All right, let's do this test. I don't believe adults have photographic memory. Children do, but they outgrow it.
Mrs. Andrews got out of her chair and walked the short distance to where a photo album lay. She opened it and chose a photograph. She She lingered for a long moment, looking at the picture, and then went to Zoe and handed it to her. Zoe gazed at it. She looked up at Mrs. Andrews and could see her eyes crinkle. She handed the photograph back.
Whenever you're ready, Zoe.
Zoe feigned difficulty in trying to come up with a description of the photograph and looked up at the ceiling, all the while massaging her temple. She opened one eye to see if Mabel was looking at her. Blue eyes met green, and Zoe giggled.
You are...
Mom?
I think you graduated from being a snot to being cheeky. Are you going to tell me about the photograph, or are you going to continue your theatrics of finding the answer up on the ceiling?
I should wager on free rent as well.
You are incorrigible. Fine. I will add free rent for 6 months, but if you can't, I will double your rent for the next 6 months. You even won't be able to talk me out of that. Are you sure you want to do this?
Oh, yes. If you're going to be overjoyed, we won't have to be paying rent for 6 months. Although, now that I think about it, Mrs. Andrews, it's not fair to ask you to talk about yourself.
Are you reneging on your bet?
No, I'm just saying, if you don't want to talk about yourself...
I won't have to tell you about my past because you won't be able to describe this photograph. And the longer you stall, the less you will remember.
Would you like us to have a cup of tea and then talk about this?
You are a cheeky woman, Zoe Lambros. We can have the tea later.
Can I add one more item to our wager? Will you tell me about your interest in Lascarina Bubolina?
What makes you think I have an interest in Bubolina?
You have a painting of her on that wall.
Zoe pointed to the wall near the kitchen, where the painting was partially hidden. She was familiar with the art and recognized it immediately. She smiled when she saw Mrs. Andrews' surprised expression.
All right, we will add that to the deal.
6 months, rent-free, Lascarina, and I get to hear your life story. This is going to be good.
To be continued.
Thank you for listening to Sherry's Playhouse.